Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY22 earnings conference call of Easy Trip Planners Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Pitti, Co-founder of Easy Trip Planners Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Today on the call, I'm joined by Mr. Ashish Bansal, our Chief Financial Officer, and Orient Capital, our investor relationship partner. We have uploaded and updated investor deck and result highlights on the stock exchange and company website. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. If I speak on the quarter gone by, we saw a strong recovery on the back of pent-up demand and revenge travel, which was under severe lockdown across the state for the last 18 months. Opening up of economy and mass vaccination drive aided and boosted the confidence of people to step out of their home and resume to the normalcy once again. This has in fact proved huge tailwind to the travel sector, since people were stagnated across the peripheral borders of their respective cities and states for almost the entirety of the year. Now, since they can move out with confidence, we saw a huge surge in demand for travel and tourism during the quarter went by. And this is still growing on month-to-month basis. We have witnessed not only travel uptick in the domestic market, but now people have also started planning international holidays, which will boost pent-up demand even more. Going forward, we are optimistic on demand scenario and see more and more people traveling in short and long destinations for frequent holidaying. Let me speak about our performance and highlights for the quarter. We had a remarkable quarter with adjusted revenues north of 100 crores per quarter and profitability of more than 25 crores this quarter. Our gross booking revenue stood at 895 crores, which was 164% up on year-on-year basis and 151% up on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our B2C revenues for the quarter stood at 92.3%, displaying high brand equity and great customer stickiness across our portal for multiple services. Our profit after tax for quarter 2 of FY22 stood at 27 crores, a significant increase of 333%. For half year of FY22, our tax stood at 42 crores, almost up by 400%. We have been able to perform exceptionally on operational fronts as well. Our air segment, which is net of cancellations, grew by 2.5 times in quarter 2 of FY22 and 3 times in the first half of year of FY22. We have been able to sell 25.779 lakh air segments in the first half of FY22. Our hotel segment is the highlight for first half of FY22. We saw a strong momentum going forward as well. Our hotel night sold has seen a jump of 13 times in first half of FY22 on year-on-year basis. And our hotel night sold, the hotel night which we sold was 68,000 as compared to 62,000 for the entire FY21. Our train, bus and other services clubbed together grew by 267% for first half of FY22 and 199% for FY22. The total transactions for bus, trains and other services was 2.31 lakh for the first half versus 2.19 lakh for the entire FY21. This growth also represents a strong recovery of India's travel sector that was severely affected due to pandemic. We are now extremely bullish about the strong pent-up demand in the travel industry. We will continue to strengthen on all fronts and are confident that our continued focus on financial and operational efficiency will help us achieve sustainable business growth in the coming quarters as well. Let me spend some time on recent milestones at EaseMatrix. We are going to acquire a company called as Stabie. This is going to be our first acquisition, which is a 100% technology-driven platform. Stabie lists more than 1.2 million hotels and has enabled more than 200 transactions today. The said acquisition will add a new revenue stream and enable EaseMyTrip to do B2B hotel and holiday transactions. We have also expanded our wings internationally to countries like Philippines, Thailand and USA. We anticipate a huge pent-up demand across the globe, and these expansions will aid in rooting the ground in the international market. We continue to focus on increasing our revenue and market share. Alongside, our equal efforts are distributed on operational efficiency and cost management. We will continue to do our best in creating a lean cost model and remain profitable and increase profits on a consistent basis. For example, despite increase in revenues by almost 300%, our cost has been under control. Our employee expenses stood nearly at the same as what it was in the first half year of FY21. In fact, it is marginally down. Our employee expenses as a percentage of GBR is 0.8% for first half of FY22, which was 2.2% for first half of 21. Our marketing and sales promotion as a percentage of gross booking revenue was 0.9% of first half of FY22 as compared to 1% of first half of FY21. Our other expenses also reduced by 0.2% of the overall GBR as compared to the previous semester. We are doing multiple tie-ups with brands to cross-sell each other's products and leverage brand strength for both the parties. We are also engaging with multiple banks and e-wallet companies to provide additional benefits to customers for engaging with them and making them stick on our portal. Let me speak on financial performances. Our gross booking revenue for quarter 2 stood at 895 crores as compared to 339 crores for quarter 2 of FY21. The GBR for the first half stood at 1252 crores as compared to 437 crores corresponding last year. Our adjusted revenue crossed 100 crores mark for the quarter and stood at 101 crores. Up by 291%. Our PAT for the quarter stood at 27.1 crores, up by more than 330%. Our cash flow was negative this time because of few reasons. One, the payment of the advance to the supplier. We made a payment of the advance to the supplier in the tune of 71 crores to get better commission for the business going forward. Second, we also gave dividend worth 22 crores. And third, we moved 26 crores from cash in hand to the long-term FDR. Despite negative cash flow, our cash and cash equivalent stood at 179 crores as on 30th September 2021, showing strength in our balance sheet and business model. With this, I open up the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Edelweiss Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So the first question is related to your segment revenue. In the revenue segment, you had given some for a hotel package and other services losses in the revenue. Can you please explain those?
Absolutely. Well, we are growing our hotel sales right now. If you see, we have been able to increase our hotel sales by 13 times compared to the last half year. In fact, we have already sold more rooms than the entire last year. So the margin might be minuscule negative right now, but overall it's a very positive trend to the company, where we are giving slightly more discount to the consumers to make them form the habit of using EaseMeister for hotel bookings as well.
So you are burning cash on these two businesses right now?
For the hotel department, it's a minuscule loss-making business right now, yes.
Oh, okay, okay. So how to look at this business? Because the way forward also, you are, growing also very on the higher side.
Mm-hmm.
And, because it seems like you are, burning cash on that, giving in terms of discount or something. You are burning cash in that, and you are also quite bullish on this business. So when you are expecting this stream to come to some positive revenue side, at what level of, at what, like the numbers you had already provided, the hotel nights, at what number of a hotel nights it will become a positive?
So as I mentioned, we are trying to actually run this business at break-even stage. The amount of negative what you're saying is actually pretty minuscule. So the idea is not to burn money over here, but it's just slightly miscalculation, you can say, in order of offering discounts. And that is why the amount is negative right now. However, if you pay attention, the growth is tremendously fast right now. And we intend to, remain a break-even company or profitable company in the future as the growth tapers down a bit.
Okay. And the next question is related to your acquisition, Traviate. So how big that company is in terms of a revenue? How is the margin of that company? How much of the employee they have? How much is you paid for the acquisition? And some details of that acquisition, if you can share.
So we have entered into non-binding agreement, and the due diligence and other procedures are under process right now. So I may not be able to share a full lot of detail right now since it is not disclosed yet. However, I can tell you a little bit about the financial operations of the company. The revenue model of the business of the company is actually pretty simple. What this company allows is to it connects travel agents with corporates and travel agents with other travel agents. And everybody can upload the best possible rate of hotel which they have. So imagine if you are a travel agent sitting in Darbhanga. Now the rates which you might have for the hotels in Darbhanga probably are the best, even better than what EaseMeister gets or other competitors get. Now with Traviate, a travel agent will be able to upload their rate, and other travel agents sitting in the other parts of India or the world will be able to book it using Traviate as a business model. So it's creating a whole new kind of inventory on its own. And the revenue model is very simple. It's basically per transaction fee. Whatever transaction happens, Traviate charges a transaction fee on that. The company's profitability, of course, is going very strong. In FY19, the company incurred a loss of around 1 crore. In FY20, the company incurred a loss of around 40 lakhs. The FY21 results are yet to be out displayed by the company, but we are extremely bullish on this company since this company deals with travel agents. And EaseMeister has the largest relationship with the travel agents across India. In the past, 56,000 travel agents have used EaseMeister of the 70,000 registered travel agents. So we are extremely bullish of providing our network to this company, and they have created a very good technology which is going to create a new kind of business model as what we are seeing right now.
Okay, great. Next questions are related to your international expansion, and you had added a few destinations, international destinations. So how are you going to see the expense side? Because going to a Philippines, Thailand or a US, is that escalate your expense?
So the company is sowing the right seeds for the future right now. This is how I would see this as. We have disrupted the India market by keeping our operational cost, our cost to be extremely low, and offering value to consumers by giving them an option to not to pay convenience fee. And this is what our anticipation is for the future, that using the current cutting edge technology which we have and the best in class operational efficiency which this company has, we would be able to offer a great value to consumers living abroad for their own respective country travel. See, the idea is not to have a humongous cost center in these countries. We probably would need only few people in each of these countries who would deal with the local airlines, who would deal with the local payment gateway, and create and enable the system, while the entire operation and technology stack will continue to run out of India.
Okay. And the last question I have related to your 71 crore, which you had said about the deposit. Can you give more detail on at what frequency such kind of a deposits you made? At is there any seasonality or any timeline in a year, financial year, mm-hmm. for these kind of a things?
Well, we have given an additional advance payments to our suppliers around 71-72 crores in the first half of this year. And for that, we are enjoying much better commission. This is a rotational advance. As we deposit the equivalent amount in the bank, we utilize the same amount by making booking, and then we refill it. So it's not something which is given to them for forever. And this amount can change, dramatically. It can go down as well dramatically this is yet to be seen. But however, it's a rotational deposit. It's not a fixed advance which we have given.
So, because you are doing a business for a quite long with the airline companies, so must have some deposit, advance deposit to them. Is this a additional advance deposit, I can say?
That is correct. This is an additional advance deposit than business as usual.
So your business is increasing, and that's why this additional advance required.
You can say that, and also this is to get better commissions from the airline. This is the deal which happens on one-to-one basis, and on the basis of giving them additional rotational deposit, we are able to enjoy better commission.
Okay, thank you for taking my question. I have some more questions. I'll come in a queue.
Please, thank you.
All the best. Happy Diwali.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jimesh Sangvi from Principal India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the Traviate deal, will it be a complete buyout, or there will be a certain stake buyout it would happen? And if you can throw some light on the promoters who are there right now, and if anything on their background, if you can share out there. That is one. And second, we also did some tie-up with Interglobe Technology, wherein we have also an agreement worth $10 million. So if you can share some further details on that as well. How does it actually work, and how will it benefit us?
Absolutely. Your line wasn't very clear, but I think I have gotten the gist of what you were asking. A little bit about the Traviate, as you passed. So, at this particular time and moment, I may not be able to disclose what exactly the deal structure is, since it is under the due diligence and the process is happening right now. However, I can tell you what our thought process is while we are going to be acquiring companies in the future as well. At EaseMyTrip, we are looking for companies who are somewhat like EaseMyTrip, but just 5 years prior. So we are looking for mostly tech companies who are asset-light, could be bootstrapped, should be very close to profit. Maybe you can just mute yourself, since there's a lot of disturbance coming from your side. Thank you. Should be very close to profitable or already profitable. Now, and also we are mostly looking for companies in non-air segment. As within the air segment, we are already among the market leaders and we are growing profitably. In non-air, we are expecting to double our business organically every year. But we could use some inorganic help to grow faster. But most of all, the acquisition strategy which we are following is very scalable. We are not planning to merge any company, but allow them to run independently. Also, in most cases, we are looking to acquire between 80 to 100% of the company so that the founder has minority stakeholder remaining with them and they have incentive to grow the company in the future. This is a bit about your survey. About the other question which you asked related to Interglobe. See, Interglobe and we have been working together since forever. The deal which we have done recently is basically they are giving us advance incentives worth $10 million And once we utilize those advanced incentives, we will look forward to renewing the deal with either MEDS or interview. And that probably will happen in the future. So this is the advanced incentive which I provided to the company. And the reason I believe that this deal has happened right now is that the international, air ticketing is supposed to grow. And because, and for all the international air ticketing, we will continue to use Interglobe technology.
So it's based on certain milestones of bookings that you will kind of offset this advances or something?
Correct. So with every segment which we book via Interglobe, we have tied up with an exclusive partnership with them. With every segment which we will book via Interglobe, we will get some incentives from them. And those incentives will keep on getting reflected as a revenue in the company. Right now, this 10 million will sit as a liability in the company. And as we continue to make the segments, they will keep shifting from liability to the revenue.
Okay. And sir, on the Traviat side, I remember you saying in your past calls that probably we will be looking more at equity sharing equity stake in our company with the subsidiary. Does that continue to hold true even for this Traviat deal, or probably that would be a cash buyout or something?
So that will be decided by the board. I may not be able to make a comment on it. If the deal size is big, we may use equity. If the deal size is small, we can use the cash which we have in hand. But it is to be decided by the board.
And sir, any kind of details on the promoter, who are they?
So Pranita Chugh is the promoter of Traviate. She has been in the travel industry since God knows 10-15 years, and she has done a wonderful job. Traviate business exists since last 6 years, and she and her team has done a wonderful job in creating a very scalable and a very, very robust business model. In fact, we have been using Traviate in the past as well. But now the idea is that, we can acquire this company and we can open up our travel agent network to them and help them grow faster on the technology which is already built.
And so lastly, can you share what percentage of our gross booking revenue will be from the B2B segment and what percentage would be from the retail segment?
So as I mentioned in the opening remark, 92.3% of our business is B2C right now. And remaining is either travel agent or corporate business.
Fine, sir. Thank you. That was helpful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My first question is on employee expense. So as you would know, that is of late too much noise around employee cost inflation or in the tech sector particularly. So how are you dealing with it in controlling the cost and keeping the cost in a very controlled way and going forward?
Sure. So thank you for this question. We have about 370 odd employees in the company, of which 72 employees are in the tech space. And of course, as rightly said, the tech employees, salaries and costings are the highest among all the other, of the 370, around 180 to 200 people are in the backend job, which could be picking calls, replying to the emails or, just chatting with the consumers. Booking or canceling the ticket. Those jobs can be taken care of by the freshers or the people who have 1 year or 2 years of experience. So those kinds of people really do not cost much money to the company. And another thing this company has done is that we have not outsourced any people, any employee. Everything is done in-house for this organization, unlike our competitors. On the tech front, our average tech salary is somewhere around 11 lakhs per annum for the 72, around 10 to 11 lakhs per annum for the 72 employees which we have. So clearly it is one of the biggest costs to the company, and it is rightly so because we, at the heart of it, we are a technology company. But now there are few ways by which we have safeguard ourselves in the future on the tech cost rising as well. So one thing is, we are using a .NET technology as our backend. Now, there are a lot of internet companies these days who all are using Python or Java or Node.js as a technology. And hence, they are competing amongst each other for a very small pool of population. And that is why the tech costs for those companies are rising astronomically. However, the technology base, the tech stack which we have used, the employees are available far in abundance. And thankfully, we are not seeing a lot of poaching happening from the tech world on our employees, just because the tech stack which we have used is slightly different than what the other internet world players have used.
Right. So this is something which you feel is like going to sustain in your advantage, and like this tech stack, and so employee cost is likely be contained.
Absolutely. So one thing we also shared this in multiple newspapers suggesting that how people who join EaseMyTrip have stuck with EaseMyTrip for really, really long, have continued to work with EaseMyTrip for really, really long. For the tech employees which we have, I can probably count on my fingers for the first 10 tech employees which this company has offered, 7 are probably still working with the company, even after 13 years. So that speaks volumes about the company's retention and the policy. And we believe that our tech cost will continue to go up, but it will not go as high as what it is going for the other startups which we all are hearing right now.
Thanks. And my second question is on how do you see ramp up of your competition CRTF under the ambit of Flipkart? Has there been any material pickup which is something industry should understand, or is it something very stagnant? And we recently heard also Adani Group also investing in that company, taking some minority stake. Is it something which impacts the industry?
We have been in this industry for the last 13 years, and we have been facing this kind of competition. In fact, the competition intensity has only gone down. But we have seen the worst of the intensity of competition, where burning money, money was burnt as fluidly as you can imagine. I believe that the market opportunity is very large. And at this stage, we believe that we will be able to sustain on our own, and we will be able to deliver the growth which we have delivered in the past and with our newer business initiatives. So there has been some activity which we are seeing on the creative side, but I think that is pretty much coming from the billion sale which Flipkart anyways does during this particular time of the year. But besides this, the company feels very confident. If I speak specifically about the air ticketing industry, it's a $15 billion industry which is poised to become $25 billion industry by FY25. As more and more new airports are coming in India. So we believe that we have a very good runway towards the future.
And one last question the stake rates. So has there been any change of stance
there has been no materialistic change so far. Since last 3-4 quarters, it is just continuing as business as usual, and there is no materialistic change as of now.
Sure, sir. Thanks and all the best. I'll get back to the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Shah from AUM Fund Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just following up on the previous question, just the salaries and the technology cost, wanted to get some sense. You mentioned that people who have been there with you for a decade plus, and we saw from the annual report there seem to be at least 3 names over there, which are significant. So how do you manage to pay, what is the profile of these people? I think the salaries of these three gentlemen, I think, was in the range of 20 lakhs plus. So for the rest, I guess it's even lower. So what is the profile of this technology help that you have, their qualifications, their average experience? And what is the addition they're doing? Because you sound like a technology-intensive business, which may require a lot of, constant application development, interfaces, etc., and all that. So just want to understand some sense of, you know, your technology costs relative to the operations that are required to, you know, maintain your business kind of position.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, we have about 70 odd people in technology team, and the average salary is between 10 to 11 lakh per annum for the technology team. And you know, that I believe is somewhat compared to what the industry standards are. We might be slightly on the lower side, specifically because we have chosen a different tech stack compared to what most startups choose, because of which we have been able to insulate ourselves from the rising costs and also unavailability of such tech stack employees. Now, the usual profile is that most of them are engineering background, who might have had 2 or 3 years of experience in the past, and then they continue to work with these markets. They, you know, their salaries probably get on annual basis get incremented between 20% to 30% on an annual basis, and we continue to see them share, you know, serving IsmaTech for a longer tenure.
But what tech stack is this? Is this very different from what, you know, other freshers, you know, for example, in the IT services industry, work on out of? Because their salaries, the starting salary, I'm told, is at least 20% to 25% higher. And does your tech stack then afford you the same amount of, you know, upgradation that is needed for your business?
So,
Tell us about your technology, you know, what platforms you use.
The technology platform we are using is .NET on the back end. And then all the servers are on the cloud. Either we are using Azure or we are using AWS. Now, as I said, the technology does not stop us from anything. The technology is also getting upgraded. It's a Microsoft technology. It's a very well-reputed technology, and the employees are available in the market in abundance. So there is no dearth of employees as well. And we believe that we are able to manage our costs in a very, very efficient manner and continue to grow our technology alongside. We started with a technology team of 5 people. Right now, we are 72 people. In fact, you know, just prior to COVID, our technology team was somewhere around 50 people. So during the COVID times, when people were actually letting go of technology people, we went ahead and hired more people because we knew that technology is the core of the company, and, you know, utilizing them, we can create more automation in the system. There's a lot of background noise coming from your side as well.
I think that's fine. Anyway, so .NET, do you expect to change in the near future? It seems like a relatively, at least from my limited understanding.
So in fact, it is changing as we speak. It is getting better. .NET right now was not an open source technology, but the future of .NET is open source. And we believe it's an incredible technology, and we wish to stick by with it for a longer duration. And there are many other good companies who are using .NET as a technology.
Okay. So for such a strong, you know, consumer-oriented, you know, UI-intensive thing, at least what we have heard, this .NET, you know, may have some limitations compared to the more, you know, newer platforms that we see out there. But
the only limitation, I do not agree with that statement. The only limitation I would not even call it as a limitation. The only difference I would probably say is that the costing of the servers are slightly higher. But I would choose that any day, since I'm able to insulate myself from increasing costs of salaries of the employees.
Okay. The second question was on Traviate. You know, I know you are still in the process, but in terms of size, you know, number of employees, you know, how, you know, again, what's the tech strength of that company, et cetera? Is it possible to get some color?
I'm advised to not to talk about it since the deal is under process.
Okay. Just a, you know, short request. I mean, I know you're in the process of doing it, but, you know, we did some work on, you know, Glassdoor and other things on Traviate. And, you know, I think it would be useful for you yourself to also do the same and, you know, just track what is going on there. It would be useful, I think.
See, I'm sure with the change in the company's management, the cultures will also probably change, and we'll work along to integrate Traviate in the same culture and the spirit as what we have done for IsmaTech. Thank you.
All the best. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhuchanda Dey from Money Control Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question is a little long term. Now there's a change in ownership of Air India. And we're hearing about a couple of new low-cost airlines coming into the picture. So obviously, the airline industry is going to see a lot of competition. The inventory level is also going to be higher. So what does that mean in terms of, you know, the take rates for airlines and its impact on a financial of an OTA like yours?
So to answer your question, I would start with the OTA industry. The OTA industry will be more strengthened as more and more players come in. The reason why people would opt for an OTA would only increase with more players coming in the picture. And as you rightly said, the competition between the airlines will increase, and that is why there's a possibility that the take rates towards the OTA might increase in order to bid to get more business. See, from the consumer's perspective, an OTA, whether it is me or my competition, we are the front line between the airlines and the passenger. And the dependency on OTA is only increasing because 5 years prior, majority of the searches were happening on desktop. Right now, 87% of searches are happening on mobile, either mobile browser or mobile app, which means it was still okay for people to search for various online by opening various tabs on their desktop. But on mobile, it is extremely cumbersome. Because of which, the dependency on OTA is only increasing. And as we get more airlines come in picture, as you know, we should anticipate the take rates to only go slightly higher.
Okay, thank you. Thanks and all the best.
Thanks, madam.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Seth from Samisha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Prashant, for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. On the take rate and the advance rate, so last year it was 50 crore. We topped it up with 71 crore additionally in the first half. That's the understanding, right?
That is correct.
Okay, and this will be, the total advance will be around 121 crores, and that will stay as it is, and will be topping up as and when we utilize from that pool.
That is correct.
Okay, and even if I look at the take rate sequentially, the gross take rate has kind of declined 250 bps from 13% to around 11% right now. So how should one look at gross take rate on 100 crore? The GBV is around 850 or 895 crore. So how should one look at it? Yeah.
I would not see the take rate to be declining, because when you're saying it was 13% and now it is 11.3%, there is another component called in the other income, which is claims written back. Now, claims written back, if you see, does not change much. It is basically what is coming from 2 years prior, which has nothing to do with business right now. So that is why for the last quarter, the business, the GBR was less. But, the other income claims written back was 12 crores. Now the other income which is claims written back is still 12 crores, but the business has gone up. The GBR has gone up. That is why you're seeing difference from 13% to 11.3%. I hope that makes sense.
But even if I look at the net basis, on the net, adjusting this the discounts and the claim written back, we are seeing a slight decline over there as well.
It's an insignificant decrease of 0.3%. It's an insignificant decrease. I may not be able to comment on it right now, but the policies or the understanding has not changed.
But at the current level, you think this is sustainable, right?
This is what we have been seeing for the last 4 quarters now, and we believe that this is the status quo right now.
Okay, and on the discounts, that bit has also kind of jumped up a bit. It's still at 5% of GBV that you continue to see going forward. It was historically very low. It was 10%, which has increased to 5%.
Correct. So discount has been high for both quarter one and quarter two. I would agree on that compared to the last year. The primary reason is that we are getting much better commissions from the suppliers, and the entire industry is passing on the benefit to the consumer right now. And so it is in the lines with the competition. It is in the lines with the industry. And that is why the numbers are higher. I believe that this number probably will taper off.
Okay. Got it. And we will be able to retain the additional commissions back once that happens.
So the commissions are basically a different set altogether, and discounts is a different set altogether. Discounts is dependent on the industry. Commission is dependent on the relationship with the airlines. I do not think that they have something in commonality right now.
Okay. And on Traviate, again, the deal size is not you are not supposed to make that. Because
it's not a public information. As the deal commences, I am sure it will be part of the PR release as and when it happens.
Okay. That is all. I'll join back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Edelweiss Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking follow-up question. So just to on the last participant question, if I just look at your X of a discount net revenue, and that is as a percentage of a GPR. So historically, if I look at like of 2 years back, that was on the lower side. Now in the first quarter and the second quarter, reached to around 5% odd. So where do we see this number? And also you are guiding to discount to go down from here. So will that percentage of a GPR is expected to increase for you? Or it will be in the range of a 5%, which has improved from 2.7 to
0.8%? So as I said in the last question, I anticipate the discounts to go down as the competition and the intensity of discounting decreases. This is one of the times when the travel is opening up again, and that is why everybody is dying to give better discounts to consumers and get consumers on their platform. But once the normalcy resumes, let's say from quarter four onwards, I believe that the intensity of discounts will reduce dramatically, and this number should look like what it was in the stable time. Was there any other question?
For a future, just for a sake of understanding, I'm asking whether to stabilize these numbers over here or there is a further room for improvement as a percentage for GBR, your net revenue.
So it's hard to anticipate because this is primarily market driven. It's driven not just by us, it's the entire industry, the competition. It's driven by the entire fraternity. So it'd be extremely hard for me to make any forward-looking statement on this.
Okay. And second question, if you can guide on the, any acquisitions, like the one acquisition you are, already informed. So is there any mix of a borrowing in that?
Borrowing as in?
So for acquisition, do you borrow money for that, or you have enough cash for that?
No, we have 180 odd crores sitting in the bank right now. So right now we do not see the need to borrow the money. But it depends on what kind of acquisitions we will do in the future. But as I highlighted earlier, that in principle our thought process towards acquiring companies is to acquire companies which are PBT driven. They must be a growing company, but they must focus on their bottom line. We do not just care about the top lines as a vanity number. We care about the real business who are doing business profitably. We love travel business. We love technology. We like asset light models. We like company who has very little amount of debt. The ones who are about to be profitable or are already profitable, and the businesses where by getting them on board, eSmartTrip, we will be able to make 1 + 1 = 6. Where, with the deeper integration between both the companies, we will be able to add value in both the companies. So this is the thought process, and we are looking forward to see more acquisition happening at eSmartTrip.
Okay. And next, related to your marketing and sales promotion, where do you expect it to stabilize those at this level only, or because you are growing in the different segments like of hotels and the others. So do we believe these numbers as a percentage of a GBR or as a percentage of a net sales to go up from here?
So as if you notice, for the last couple of years, including the 2 quarters, our marketing spend has not changed much as a percentage of GBR. You know, however, I would like to inform that we are going to up the ante by a bit and start spending some amount of money on branding activity, which historically speaking, our company has not done much in the past. But overall, it will not make, on the overall basis, it will not make any huge impact.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Sethia from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand, you know, when I look at your cash flow, at the operating level, you made about 28 crores in the first half. But then there's a lot of working capital movement, and effectively it seems like you're not making much at the net of the working capital. So can you help us understand that, you know, that why your working capital is so high in this first half, of which the cash flow was actually negative?
So pretty much the entire working capital which went up came from the additional am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So the entire amount of negative working capital mostly came from the 72 crores of additional advance payments which we have given to the supplier to enjoy better commission. Now, this, as I mentioned earlier, this is a rotational advance. It's not an amount which is given to them and forgotten. It's an amount which we deposit with them and we use while we make a booking. So,
Understood. For
example, let's say if we are depositing X crores in one of the airline, for the next 10 days, we will utilize whatever bookings we are going to make. The money will keep getting will keep getting offsetted from the amount which we have deposited in their bank account. And once the balance is built, we will redeposit the same amount in the airline. So it's a working capital requirement exists right now as the business is also growing. That's number one. And also we are enjoying better commissions by offering them certain advances for the future right now.
So does that mean when the traffic would return to fully normal and probably growing at a faster rate, airlines will not require such high deposits from you and therefore they'll give you lower commissions? Would that be a fair understanding?
So at least for the month of September, we were almost either 95 or 100% of our pre-COVID numbers. So EaseMyTrip has bounced back from the COVID numbers and we are still seeing this as a business is going on with the same take rates. And the take rates are also not just dependent on the advances which we are offering them. It is also dependent on the relationship. We are a growing company. See, there is a lot which an OTA has in his hand, right? If you are searching for a flight ticket, an OTA decides on the first page which airlines do we want to show. On the top three sections, which airlines do we want to come, which airlines do we not want to come. It's not mandatory by law that we have to show airlines in the ascending order of, you know, time or ascending order of price. So there is a lot of things which are happening at the OTA's end as well. And OTA's also command the power of changing the market share by a bit between airline to an airline. So it's a relationship which we carry between the airlines and because of which we are seeing our take rates go up at this time.
Understood. And if you know, you can share any mix of tickets among the three airlines, and would the deposit be also in the similar proportion, or you probably would have a disproportionate commission or disproportionate share of deposit to one or two players and your mix of tickets would be different or would be fairly aligned, if you can help us understand that.
So being the second largest OTA in India right now, our market share across the airline actually matches with what the market share airline commands.
there is no huge differentiation. It might be a, you know, 10 bits to 50 bits here and there, but otherwise our market share is very well aligned to what the what you see in the industry.
And will the deposit be, which you have extended
the deposit also varies. That, to be honest, that actually is a floating thing. Sometimes we make a very deep relationship with one particular airline or two airlines for that particular month, and then the next month we switch to the other airline because we want to maintain good relationship with everybody, right? So hence, that is also something which, you know, I don't think so I'll be able to comment on how exactly it goes, but it's a deal, it's driven on deal to deal basis.
Yeah, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Chaudhary from Landmark Group. Please go ahead.
Hi. Terrific set of numbers. Congratulations. Happy Diwali already. I'm a big fan from the customer as a customer as well, and I'm one of those sticky customer and also a shareholder. So congratulations. My question is a little bit related to the last question, which is that the market leader among the airline industry, do you have different set of rates? So for example, let's say that the average take rate is X. Do you govern the market leader, give a very differentiated rate comparative to the smaller airlines? Or is it like the smaller airlines are given a better rate? Would you want to comment on it?
So, of course, the take rate varies by the airlines. There is no denying on that fact. However, the gross margin which we earn is not just directly the commission which we get from the airlines. There are five ways by which we earn money. Our gross margin, which is 11.3% right now, constitutes of five things: commissions from the airline, incentives from the Galileo or Amadeus, the $10 million which we talked about. Third is cancellation fees or UAC. Fourth is incentives from credit card and prepaid card. And fifth is convenience fees. We do charge convenience fees in some cases. The cases where you're using a discount coupon, we charge convenience fees to make an apple-to-apple comparison. So these are the five means by which we earn, and put together we earn around 11-odd%. We earned in this particular quarter around 11-odd%. So, but to answer back to your question, yes, the take rates do vary between the airlines, and sometimes it could be higher for the airlines which are smaller in market cap because they are trying hard, smaller in market share, I mean, because they're trying hard to grow their numbers right now.
Right. Thank you. The second question is regarding the non-airline business. I think by March 21, you had mentioned that, so it was mentioned that it was a loss-making entity by that time. And now since the numbers have boomed up relatively much on a higher rate, are you seeing the commissions making the net profit down the line? Or, what is the timeline in your head for non-airline business to give a big boost to their bottom line?
So, one thing I should have mentioned earlier, but good that you are asking me this question again. Right now, our marketing expenditure on non-air is very minuscule. We are able to grow our hotel sales, our bus sales, train sales, holiday sales purely so far via cross-selling. And this is a great demonstration for the company that compared to last year, our sales have gone up 13 times for the last half year. Now, we are able to do that by not keeping, in a way, we are not keeping any margins what we are enjoying in this industry. We are giving those margins up to the consumers as a discount. And we believe that this is a great way to continue to grow our numbers. We probably will do that for at least next couple of quarters and continuously increase our base in the non-air space so that we get the mind share of the people that at Easma Trip, They just don't have to book air tickets, but they can use us for other services as well.
Okay. Very last question, very quick question. The funding that the other competitors receive on a very big scale, though they are loss-making and all, they would also have this power of, you know, sharing a good amount of money surplus already with and keeping it with the airlines. Obviously, it goes. It is one of the very pressing matters. So, do you think that a very big round of funding, which might happen in future, would take away, would be a disadvantage for you, relatively speaking?
So, I believe that now we have come to a place where we are at level playing field. See, historically, this company has been bootstrapped. We have never raised any round of money. And imagine us running this company, growing this company to this stage and surpassing 5 deeply funded travel companies already without having any money in our pocket. Now, honestly speaking, with the recent listing of being, you know, being recently listed in India, we in fact chose to be listed in India specifically because we knew that this will create a lot of brand awareness for the company for which we do not spend money on marketing. So now I think that the times are only getting easier for EaseMyTrip as what it was earlier before. We have gone through the various phases of our competition, raising huge amount of money, burning most of that money within the 6 months. And then, you know, we see our numbers go back up again. So I would agree to the fact that, you know, if somebody receives a lot of money, it might hamper our market share by a little for a quarter or so. But in the long run, we believe that people care for a sustainable value which you offer them. And the sustainable value can only be offered by having a lean cost structure. See, at the heart of it, we believe that businesses are only done for two reasons. Reason number one, to serve your customers extremely well. And reason number two, to do it profitably so you can continuously serve them for a longer duration. Now, VC money, PE money, I believe is a good, you know, good money to solve your teething problems. But I think most of the entrepreneurs or internet companies, not just in India, but across the world probably, you know, start getting dependent on that VC money for decades, which I think is a lousy job of an entrepreneur. So to be honest, at the heart of it, we are not worried about that part. And we believe that, in fact, now I think the time has come where capital is expensive even for our competition. Capital, raising capital was very cheap for them earlier. But I think now, given where we have come today, I think raising capital for our competition also has become expensive.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jimesh Sangvi from Principal India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Jimesh, may I request to unmute your line from your side, please? Jimesh, we are unable to hear you. May I request to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with your question?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you now.
Yeah. Sir, on the ad spend, do we have an annual budget target for this year? Recently, we saw you coming up with ads in each of the newspapers, each day, full-page ad. So, do we have an ad budget for this year or how should we look at that number?
So, we usually look at our ad budget as a percentage of GBR. We anticipate what this quarter GBR will be and then we multiply it by a percentage in our mind and then we use that money to spend on marketing activities. Now, what you saw recently was actually one of the very first initiatives by the company to do a branding exercise. 95% of the money which we use on marketing is basically for performance advertisement, which is basically showing EaseMyTrip if you search Delhi-Bombay flight on Google or on Facebook. So most of the money which we have spent historically has been on performance marketing, but now we believe is the right time where the brand value is also going up to spend some money on the branding exercise. So as a percentage of GBR, I do not see a big change which will come. It might go up by a little. But however, as a percentage of change between performance marketing and branding exercise, you can anticipate us to spend some more money on branding.
So that number in terms of percentage to GBR, should we assume it closer to 1, 1.1 to the GBR?
You could say, you could safely say that it should be lower than 1.5% for the future.
1.550.
Correct.
Okay. And any guidance on the GBR that you are foreseeing for this year? What kind of a growth one can expect on the GBR front?
So, for the quarter which went by, we did GBR of 895 crores. Now, if there is no COVID wave 3 or there is a very subtle COVID wave 3, we believe that the quarter 3 should be much more stronger than the quarter 2, and quarter 4 should be even bigger than the quarter 3. The pent-up demand and the revenge travel, all these words which we are hearing are real. We are seeing them live in action right now. And this company, as we are gaining market share, we are gaining more popularity, we are gaining the brand image and the brand name, we are gaining a lot of tailwinds as well from the other side. So I believe that the numbers should look pretty healthy, but to give an exact number around whatever expectation should be a little bit difficult, given that dynamics can change on the basis of COVID-19.
And sir, when you said your marketing spend to increase from 0.9 to 1.5 kind of a range, do we have a number in terms of our operating margins or something that we will look at? How should one look at the bottom line or the EBITDA growth? Because this number that you said is going to substantially increase over the next year or two.
So our PBT as a percentage of our GPR was around at 4.1% for this particular quarter. Now, as I said, that you can safely assume that our marketing budgets would be lesser than 1.5%. Even if we take, let's say, another 0.5% away from the PBT, but use that to, you know, grow even faster than what we are, I think it will be in the benefit of the company and the shareholders.
So should one work with a 4% PBT as a GBR percentage rate, or can that PBT percentage go down when you are kind of budgeting your other expenditure and everything? Do you look at the PBT number as well to be at around 3% or 3.5% or something, or is a percentage to GBR?
Again, as I said, that a lot of it is dependent on the take rates which we are enjoying right now. I could say that there should not be a huge amount of materialistic change in the future.
As the
business grows, you know, the employee expenses as a percentage of GBR only goes down, right? Since there is not much need of people, and also for the other expenses, the percentage goes down. So in a way, even if we put some more money on marketing, I think overall, at net-net basis, it can probably, it may not be a considerable amount of change.
Okay. So basically, I'm just trying to understand that it may not happen that probably FY23 or FY24, probably the bottom line growth kinds of just remains more flattish, but you continue to see a top line GBR growth.
That is not what our intentions are. As I said, that historically we are a very bottom line driven company, and we believe that we have chosen the right approach of offering a sustainable value to consumers, by which we are able to increase our top line as well at the fastest rate, but by continuously improving our bottom line. So we are a bottom line driven company. I do not think so we will change that strategy for the future. However, at the company level, we do want to spend some more money on the branding activity, which we have not done in the last 30 years.
Right. That was pretty helpful, sir. Thanks a lot. I wish you a happy Diwali and a happy New Year, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Seth from Samisha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Prashant, for the follow-up. One thing I noticed in the balance sheet that our debt has increased from 17 odd crores to 64 crores, while we still hold substantial cash on books. So any reason why we choose to borrow money?
I understood your question. This is basically not to break the long-term FDRs. This is basically the amount which we utilize, and this will be repaid back. We didn't want to break the FDs which we have, which are the long term in nature. That's
okay. Again, on the advances, any cycle, monthly cycle, we have to redeposit the gap, or it's you mentioned that it's on the revolving basis, but any monthly cycle for within which we have to deposit the money back into that pool.
So this is basically right now business as usual. The money, it's a floating capital which airlines or hotels or, tour operators enjoy from this matter. And in order to, since we are offering a little bit more of floating advance to them, we are enjoying better commissions from them. So we believe this is a very good deal for the company financially. And, we look forward to continuing this. But again, as I said, that this is basically a function of two parties, not just one party. So it may change in the future, but right now, since last 4 years, since last four quarters, it has remained the status quo as what it is.
But I'm asking whether it will be, redeposit the whatever commission you kind of draw from that pool, whether it's a monthly cycle of,
It's not a monthly cycle. It's not a weekly cycle. It's the amount which we deposit. We utilize the entire money. This money which we deposit in them does not have any, it does not have any date associated to it that you must use this money by this date. There's no definitive time period to it. If there is more sales, we will utilize that money quicker and we will redeposit it.
Okay. Right. I'm just trying to understand whether on the quarter end we will have that money still remaining in that advances, or there will be some movement between quarters or the balance sheet dates. That's the reason why I was asking. That's it from my end. And one more question on the appointment of Manoj Srivastav. We haven't shared that with the exchanges, because I see on his LinkedIn profile that he's joined as CTO in EMT. So if you can talk more about his role and his appointment, if you can.
So I think we are about to file on the exchange. To be honest, I'm not exactly 100% sure what the status is, but yes, Mr. Manoj has joined as the CIO of the company and in the technology space, and we're looking forward to have him and work along with him to grow our technology and the team under his leadership.
Right, but does that change the .next, .net?
No, it doesn't. We have been doing it for the last 13 years. That does not change anything. No.
Okay. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that will be the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Pitti for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our answers very patiently. To conclude, I would like to highlight that we have a huge runway for growth. We are increasing our wallet share from existing customers by making them use us for hotel and holidays. We're adding new customers, and we are getting better in operating efficiencies and operating leverage play. We believe that we are well positioned to capitalize on the growth opportunities and increase profitability in the future. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. I hope I have been able to answer all your queries. And in case if you have any further questions or details, please feel free to contact us or Orient Capital. Well, thank you once again, and wishing you all a very happy and prosperous Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of EasyTrip Planners Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.